All right. Thanks, everybody, for coming in. Now, the first class this morning was a little bit more on the challenging side, I think. The second class will be a little bit more on the encouraging side. Maybe we need some encouragement right now. Now, we did a conference at the end of April in San Diego on grace. That's a good thing to be talking about. And the main teacher actually was my good friend Greg Moretzky. I've known him for almost 40 years. He was my soul talk leader. I don't know if you ever heard of a soul talk. That's what we used to call the Bible study groups back in the day. And all the material from that conference is available at my website. Outlines, audio, stuff like that. Alright, but before I get started, I want to take a picture of the Bible Talk leaders here in Lagos. So here we go. Oh, we got to get them all in. Okay. There we go. Don't want to miss these over here. They got a lot of Bible Talk leaders here in Nigeria, I would say. Thank you for putting up with that. And you have to put up with one more thing, which is a picture of my brand new granddaughter. It's a requirement, you know. Yeah, she's 6 weeks old. It's pretty awesome. All right, now let's get into the lessons. I'm going to start with a question. What's the most common word or expression used in the Bible to denote a person who's been saved? Forgiven of their sins. What's that?
Redeemed,
okay.
In Christ.
Correct answer, in Christ. I've asked this question before, nobody got it right. This brother got it right. All right, good job. Yeah, in fact, the expression in Christ or in Him, or in the Lord, is found 164 times just in the writings of Paul alone. That's pretty incredible. So those who are Christians are known as those who are in Christ. And really, a lot of the New Testament books, the theme of those books is life in Christ. For example, we just finished doing a class. I taught a 3 or 4 week class on Philippians. Philippians 1, the theme is to live as Christ. Philippians 2 is living like Christ. Philippians 3 is put your confidence in Christ. Philippians 4 is practical living in Christ. Ah, I forgot. We have two separate... where'd my clicker go? I was advancing the thing every time on my screen. Here's my clicker. Sorry about that. Yeah, I was supposed to, I thought you were seeing that picture. That's my granddaughter. All right. That's the question. Yeah, there you go. Go ahead and clap some more. Clap for Lorraine. Yes. All right. There's the question you're supposed to answer. These are all the wrong answers. All right. And there's the right answer. The outline of Philippians. And the theme of Colossians is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's all about being in Christ, life in Christ. So what I want us to do is spend some time just thinking about all the things we have in Christ. And the list is really long. Philippians 1:1. Again, the purpose of this class is just to have you be encouraged, primarily to have you be encouraged by the things that we have in Christ, none of which we had outside of Christ. All of us at one time were outside of Christ, right? We remember what that was like. Philippians 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's people, holy people in Christ. In Christ, you've been made holy. The word holy means different or set apart. If you're in Christ, you've been set apart as God's holy people. That's pretty encouraging. Philippians 4, verse 7. By the way, we're going to have a lot of passages here. A whole bunch of passages of what we have in Christ. And that's just a small fraction. Philippians 4, verse 7. It says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, if you're in Christ, you have peace. Outside of Christ, what do you have? Turmoil. Battles. Warfare. But in Christ we have peace. Philippians 2, verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from His love, any common sharing in the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same mind, being one in spirit and in mind. We have encouragement in Christ. It is so encouraging. And to be encouraged means to be have you given courage. We can find great encouragement from being in Christ. Galatians 3:26. Says, so in Christ Jesus, you're all children of God through faith. If you're in Christ, you're part of God's family.
That's right.
You have an inheritance. Like it says in Ephesians 2, at one time you were aliens and strangers, foreigners to the promise. But if you're in Christ, you're part of God's family. How about you? But that's a pretty good family to be part of. Because you know what? When you're part of God's family, you inherit everything. You inherit many things in Christ. In Ephesians 2, it says, at one time, you're alienated, estranged. You're orphans, but now in Christ you're the people of God. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. This is that awesome word that Chris mentioned earlier. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. It says, for He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption. You know what we have in Christ? Redemption. We've been bought back. The price of our redemption was quite high, wasn't it? It required death. We've been redeemed. We've been bought back. We were lost. We were ready for the trash heap. But we've been redeemed in Christ. Ephesians 1:7, it says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." In the dictionary, the definition of redemption is to gain or regain possession of something in exchange for a payment. You have possession of eternal life. You've been redeemed from the pit. That's another thing you have in Christ. Colossians 2:10. This one's kind of interesting. I'm purposely going to go back to Colossians 2:9 because it kind of helps us realize what we have here in Christ. "For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form." Now he's not talking about us here. He's not saying, in Christ, we have all the fullness of deity. That's not what he's saying, no. He's saying, in Christ, there's all the fullness of deity. Not in us, okay? So, remember I said it says, in Christ 164 times? Well, that's one of them. You could knock that off the list. Because it's not part of what we have in Christ, but for what it's worth. But look at verse 10. "And in Christ," that's us. "In Christ we have been brought to fullness." He is the head of every power and authority. And we'll read verse 11 in a minute. We have fullness. In Christ, all deity lives in bodily form. And if we're in Christ, we share in that God-like. That's pretty cool. We have fullness. That's that word. Completeness in Christ. Colossians 2:11 and 12. In Him. Where do we find these things? In Him. In Christ. In Him you were circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through your faith in the working of God to raise Him from the dead. To circumcise is to cut off. And when you cut off that foreskin, how much is left? None. And the flesh was circumcised. It was cut off. It has no power over us. Therefore, we don't sin anymore. Well, I wish that was true. But the flesh no longer controls us. A circumcision not performed by human hands, performed by Christ. That whole fleshly self was removed. Ephesians 1:3. There's a lot of passages about being in Christ in Ephesians. A lot of them. Says here, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." How many spiritual blessings did we have outside of Christ? Not a whole lot. We had physical blessings outside of Christ. He makes the rain to fall on the good and the evil. And the people who aren't in Christ get to eat pounded yam and all that other stuff. It's awesome. But we have every spiritual blessing. in Christ? Do you realize what you have in Christ? And one point I want to make, I'm going to continue to make it as I go through this outline. These are things we received when we were baptized. But these are things we continue to receive in greater measure after we're baptized. But there are also things that we'll receive in their full measure when Jesus comes back. It's sort of like already, but not yet. So these are things we have received. These are things we are receiving. And there are also things we will receive. Because when you were baptized, you were redeemed. But in Christ, you're being redeemed every day. But a redemption is not complete. But when Christ comes back and we're raised from the dead, we will be redeemed for eternity. All right, have I gotten to the next slide yet? Yes, I did. All right. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship. All right, also verse 11. It says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to him. Now, were you chosen outside of him? No. God looked at all the people and he said, I choose you. You've been chosen by the God of heaven. He said, you're special. He said, I choose you. You know, John and Karen Louis did a series, right? I Choose Us. That's pretty good. I Choose Us. God said, I choose you. Chosen. In Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. Says here, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all be made alive. See, it used to be in Adam. Was that a pretty good deal being in Adam? Well, it means you're alive physically. But if you're in Christ, if you're in Christ, you've been made alive. That's pretty amazing. See, you were dead in your uncircumcision of your simple nature. But God brought you alive. He gave you spiritual life. He brought you back from the dead. That's pretty awesome. We have a lot more in Christ. I'm not even close to done. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. You're looking at the screen. You know where I'm going ahead of time, but that's all right. You're reading ahead. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, do you feel righteous? I don't always feel righteous. The reason is because I sin. That's right. But I want you to know this. God views you not as you are, but he views you as how he made you.
Amen.
And even better, he views you as you will be. If we could catch a vision of that. Not that God doesn't want you to be convicted about your sin. Oh, absolutely, he wants you to be. Because like I said, this is what he's made us. It's what he's making us. And it's what we will be. And we take part in that. We participate that. By hating sin. And by rejecting sin. But we have been made righteous. And we need to take possession of that. Satan is the accuser. But God makes us righteous in Christ. Romans 6:23. We're getting practically near the end of the list. Got a few to go. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Where? In Christ. You have eternal life. You have it right now. Of course, you are given it. You're coming into it, but you will have it. That's why they can't intimidate you. Well, they do, you know, because, again, we're becoming what God sees us as already. But I want you to know how God sees us. You possess heaven. We're not there yet. Well, we're in a picture of heaven because the kingdom of God is a picture of heaven. We've been put in that kingdom. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Now, I really like Romans 8:38 and 39. All right? Have you ever thought about what we have in Christ? It's a pretty encouraging topic. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels or demons, present or future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. In Christ, we don't just have God's love, we have God's love secure. Did you have love outside of Christ? You did. But not to the full measure. We have the love of God in us. Because we're in Christ. That's pretty amazing. Where is the love of God found? In Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Are you getting bored of these things yet? No, I didn't think so. It's like Christmas. It's like Christmas on steroids. I don't know if that works, that expression works here, but anyway. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, we have grace.
Amen.
We have a free and unearned gift of grace. Favor. We have God's favor. We have this in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and I have a question for you. Are you in Christ?
Yes.
Amen. Then you're a new creation.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because that old creation, man, it was a mess. Now, we don't always appear to be a new creation, right? Let's just be honest about it. But remember, that's how God sees you. That's what He made you when you're baptized. It's what He's making you now if you're willing to accept those things. And one thing I guarantee you, if you stay in Christ, that's what you will be. I don't know about you, but that's an encouragement. A new creation. Behold, the old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who's given us the ministry of reconciliation. God is making His appeal through us. God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Amen to that.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. Says here, for no matter how many promises God has made, I don't know how many promises has God made. He made a lot of promises. He's just a promiser. For no matter how many promises God has made, they all are yes in Christ. In Christ, all of His promises. Mark down those promises. List those promises. Think about those promises. But all of them are yes in Christ. All right, this is our last screen of things that we have in Christ, although there are many others. Romans 8, verse 1. Now this one I could have skipped because it's really the opposite of something we have in Christ. But I don't know, I'm just so encouraged about this. I just got to read it anyway. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Your boss might condemn you. Your parents might condemn you. Even your friends might condemn you. Certainly Satan wants to condemn you. But if you're in Christ, there is no condemnation. Neither height nor depth nor anything else under all creation will be able to separate you. Because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Colossians 1:27. This is an interesting one. Going back to Colossians. So like I said, the theme of Philippians is life in Christ. And Colossians is a similar theme. Colossians 1:27. Go eat popcorn, right? Is that how you do it? Go eat popcorn? Colossians 1:27, it says here, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of His mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, in Christ, the mystery has been revealed. And it's the mystery that the prophets long to look into. The whole Old Testament contained this mystery. But in Christ, the mystery is revealed. Chapter 2, verse 3. I have to read verse 2 to get the context. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so they may have full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasuries of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ the mysteries are revealed. In Christ is found every form of knowledge. Colossians 2:17. I'm going to start in verse 16. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink with regard to a religious festival, a new moon, a celebration of a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. He's talking about the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament was just a shadow. It was just a prefigure. But in Christ, it's all made real. In Christ, we have the real sacrifice. Outside of Christ, we have none of those things. You know, when we're baptized, we're saved, but we're being saved, and we will be saved. When we're baptized, we're resurrected, but we're being resurrected every single day. And when Christ comes back, we'll be resurrected for eternity. When we're baptized, God made us holy, but He's making us holy every day in Christ. And when He comes back, we will be made fully holy. That's what we have in Christ. In Christ, when we were baptized, we put off the flesh. But through Christ, we're putting it off. And when Christ returns, we will put it off fully. Paul describes us as what we're becoming. But God views us as if we already were those things. That's encouraging. Philippians 3, 7 through 10. This might be my favorite one of all. I'm still deciding. Says, whatever regains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What's more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Having a righteousness of my own that comes... Not having a righteousness of my own, that's for sure, that comes from the law, but which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes by from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of His resurrection, participating in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain from the resurrection of the dead. Paul said, being in Christ, compared to everything the world has to offer, everything the world has to offer is like garbage and less than nothing. What's the value of everything the world has to offer? It's not zero, it's negative. It's less than nothing compared to being found in Him. Do you value being found in Christ? I hope you do. Paul said, being a Jew of Jews, of the tribe of Benjamin, Pharisee of Pharisees, as to legalistic righteousness, faultless. But he said that adds up to less than zero. It is of no value whatsoever. The balance between everything the world has to offer and being in Christ, that's of great value. Now what? How did we end up in Christ? How did we end up in Christ? Were you born in Christ? In your worldly life, were you in Christ? No. So at one time you're outside of Christ, right? And now you're in Christ. So at one point, you came into Christ. So how does one get into Christ? Let's read Galatians 3:26. The denominational world has this one all mixed up. messed up, folks. They don't have this understood at all. All right, I already read verse 26. I'm going to read it again, though. So in Christ, you are all children of God through faith, for all of you are baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male or female, for all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. I like to think of being in Christ as like this house here. Oops, I forgot. There's two buttons. It's very confusing for me. Alright? Jew plus Benjamite plus parasite, worth nothing. Knowing Christ compared to all things, OMG! Alright, so I like to think of being in Christ as being inside that house. And how do you pass from outside that house into that house, according to this passage? Baptized. That's when you enter in Christ. That's when you're included in Christ. Now, our religious friends say you pray into Christ. Where does it say that in the Bible? Nowhere. They say you believe into Christ. Where does it say that in the Bible? Nowhere. Generally, they don't even talk about repentance, but sometimes they do. They say you repent your way into Christ. Is that what it is? No. The only way we get into Christ is in baptism. When you are baptized into Christ. So are we ever going to back down on that teaching? I don't think so. I hope not. What about Romans chapter 6? The only time into Christ is ever mentioned is in reference to baptism. The only time it's ever mentioned. Romans chapter 6. So please don't be embarrassed that we hold out on this teaching because you don't believe into Christ. You're baptized into Christ. Romans 6, verse 2. By no means we know that we are those who have died to sin. How can we live it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus? Were baptized into his death. Now, what if you weren't baptized into Christ? Then you weren't baptized into his death. We are therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been baptized with Christ, we'll also be raised with Christ. You know the parable of the banquet? There's this guy wearing the wrong clothes. The master comes in, he looks around the crowd. Awesome, see everybody here. Wait a minute! Who's that guy? He's got the wrong clothes on! Because you know what? When we're baptized into Christ, we're clothed with Christ. We're wearing the robes that get us into the banquet. A lot of your friends think they're in Christ. But on Judgment Day at the banquet, God's going to call them out. Say, who let you in here? Don't let our lack of teaching people the truth prevent people from being in Christ. All right, I'm almost done. Just as well, since I'm running out of time. All right? I want to talk just a little tiny bit more about the freedom that we have in Christ. That's one of the things we gain in Christ, is freedom. And I want us to be able to celebrate that freedom. I like my friend there. Freedom! Yeah. Awesome. All right. So let's go to Galatians. Let's do a little bit more reading in Galatians. I'm going to go all the way back to actually to Galatians chapter 4. Just to do a little bit of reading in Galatians chapter 4. Oh, I lost my place in my notes here. There we go. Galatians 4, starting in verse 21. Says here, tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman, the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but a son by the free woman was born as the result of a divine promise. These things may be taken figuratively. Now I'm about to take these things figuratively, and Paul just told me it's okay to take them figuratively. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and do that. All right, is that okay? These things have been taken figuratively. The women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now, Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia. It corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free. She is our mother, for it is written, be glad, barren woman, you who never bore a child, shout for joy and cry aloud, for you are never in labor, because more are the children of a desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. At this time, the son born according to the flesh was persecuted. I'm sorry, persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same way now. But what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never inherit, sharing the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. So he says, there's two kinds of people. Children of Hagar, who are slaves, and children of Isaac. They're both children of Abraham, but there's Ishmael and Isaac. He says, we are Isaac. We're the children of promise. They're enslaved. And Jesus says, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Why were they enslaved? Because they sought righteousness through law-keeping. It says law-keeping, that's the old covenant. That's Mount Sinai in Arabia. And no, he says, we're part of the new Jerusalem. The real Jerusalem, the reality that was revealed, as I read earlier. We're not slaves. We're free. We're free in Christ. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. Verse 1 of chapter 5. For it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by yoke of slavery. We have freedom in Christ. Freedom from what? Slavery. Slavery to what? Yeah, slavery to sin, but in the context, in the book of Galatians, it's slavery to law. Slavery to obligation. Because outside of Christ, there's salvation already, all right? It's found in Leviticus. Those who do these things will live by them. How many in this room did those things? I'm glad nobody's raising their hand, all right? Because outside of Christ, you had to be perfect. In Christ, we already have these things. Before we were in Christ, we did these things because we had to. Because of obligation. But in Christ, we do them because we want to. Because we get to. Free from what? Free from obligation. Free from I have to. In Christ, it's I want to. We share a faith. Because we want to. We come to a 3-hour-long Saturday morning meeting because we get to. And you know what? Anything we do out of love and out of passion and commitment, there's a lot of satisfaction there. That's the freedom we have in Christ. Galatians 5, verse 6. I've got quite a bit more in my outline, but I'm going to end here. I'm going to take some questions, got to get to the airport. Going to Port Harcourt. I'm going to start in verse 5. Through the Spirit, we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we have hope. For in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. You know, you could share with 1,000 people, you'll be no more saved than you were before. You can read the Bible from cover to cover. Every year for the next 30 years, you'll be just as saved as you were before. He's saying, so why bother doing it? Well, that's the whole point. We get to do it. The only thing that counts is not how many people you bring to Bible talk. The only thing that counts is not how righteous you are and how many fasts you have. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. See, that's the beauty of being in Christ. We get to do things not because we have to, but out of love. So I want to end with a question. What are you doing for God simply because you love Him? Because Christ's love compels us. If we were convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. See, in Christ, we do because we love God. That's very freeing. It's very fulfilling. So let's celebrate the things we have in Christ. We have so many things in Christ. In Christ, you know, like I say, how can I count the ways? In Christ, we've been made holy. In Christ, we have peace. In Christ, we have encouragement. In Christ, we're the children of God. We have redemption. We have fullness. We put off the flesh. We have every spiritual blessing. We've been chosen. We've been made alive. We've become the righteousness of God. We have eternal life. We have love secure. We have grace. We've been made a new creation. All God's promises are fulfilled. There is no condemnation for us who are in Christ. The mystery has been revealed. The reality has been found in Christ. We have freedom in Christ. Let us celebrate what we have in Christ. Thank you for listening. Amen. Are we going to do a question and answer session?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Amen. I mean, this is really very important. Before we can think about all the things that happen to Christ every day, I think this is not true for you and I.